T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And right now, it is our pleasure to welcome Nathan Evaldi to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, thanks for having me.
It looks like you already got your workout in.
Yeah.
I mean, up early? Like, what's the schedule down here like?
Still trying to get into the routine of things. I woke up at like 6 this morning, had breakfast, come up to the field, do a little activation, mobility type stuff.
Pliability. Work on your pliability. That's what Tom Brady calls it, is pliability. do you drive over here or fly? You're from Texas.
Yeah.
Do you end up driving all your stuff over, or like do you have a driver? Like, how does that work? What, you rent a U-Haul? Like, what's it?
Yeah, I've always driven out from Texas, you know, even when I was with the Dodgers, and I drive to Arizona out there to that spring training, and then out here, drive to Florida.
Right. Is there any specific thing that's really important to you to bring? I mean, do you bring your Peloton, or like, what do you?
No, I mean, I usually try and bring, you know, just the little things that I need baseball wise, you know, clothes, everything like that. This year, my family's not going to be coming with me, so I felt like we had not near as much things to pack.
Not as much stuff. Yeah. Are you a Texans fan?
I am. Yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about Tom Brady? Where do you think Tom? Do you think Tom Brady ends up staying with the Patriots, or do you think he ends up going somewhere?
I mean, I really can't see him going anywhere else, but you never really know.
Would you like him as your quarterback?
Yeah, of course. Who wouldn't?
Of course you would. Of course you would. Well, how has it been kind of arriving? When did you get here?
The first.
Are you guys as players kind of feeling any of the disarray that maybe fans are feeling about the last month or so for this team?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, you know, it's part of the business, you know, but I mean, anytime, you know, someone like Mookie or Price leaves, I mean, they're huge for the team. You know, they're great, great guys on and off the field, you know, great teammates, you know, great leaders. And, I mean, but looking at that too, you know, when somebody like that leaves, you know, somebody else is going to be able to step up, you know, you know, the team that you have, and you know how you're going to be able to react to it. And I feel like a lot of the times it makes us better in a way.
Yeah. I mean, what was Price like when it comes to the clubhouse? Because I think that fans kind of had a kind of a mixed reaction to him.
Yeah.
Do we not know the kind of guy that he is?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like everybody's a little different, you know what I mean, when you have to interact with the fans and stuff. But then it's like, you know, when you go home to your family, you know, I mean, we're another family in the base, in the clubhouse. And,
yeah.
You know, I feel like that's how he was to us. You know, same with Mookie. It's, like I said, they're such great leaders. You know, they understand the game so well, and, you know, they're not afraid to say something. And like I said, it's like having a family member leave.
Yeah. I mean, epic Fortnite player.
Yeah.
I mean,
great
nobody,
Fortnite.
Nobody,
yeah.
Is there anybody better anybody better in the clubhouse than David Price?
No, I don't think so. His game's definitely increased on there. He's gotten a lot better.
Did he pick up? Now, was he a pick up the check kind of guy with that contract that he had?
I mean, you see a lot of guys, you know, who have a big contract and they don't like to spend anything, but he wasn't afraid to spend the money. It's nice.
So have you guys talked about, now with a picture of David's talent going away, have you guys talked about how you can come together as a starting rotation and try to no one replaces him, if you will, but you have a very large void to fill?
Yeah. You know, and Bloom kind of, you know, mentioned in on that, like, it's going to be hard to replace him, you know, and nobody kind of expected to fill in the role that he would have. But, you know, we got Martin Perez, and he's been looking great this spring training. You saw what Eddie was able to do last year. Sale's healthy this year. I'm healthy. And then we got one other guy, you know, who's going to step up, and I mean, it happens every year. You know, last year I got hurt. We had guys who were able to step up into that role and do well, and you know, we'll see who that's going to be this year.
I mean, you know, Mookie may end up being a once in a generational player. Do you feel like he is, and how big of a loss for that? How big of a loss is that for you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Red Sox, I mean, I felt like they did everything they could to go out there and try and re-sign him, but he, as a free agent, you know, he's earned that right to test the markets and everything. So, him in right field, you know, Gold Glove, he's chasing down everything, especially in Fenway Park, you know,
gives,
it's tough
gives
to play.
You confidence, gives you
us a lot of confidence. Yeah. And he's leading off, and it seems like he's always getting on base. He led the league last year in runs scored. So, you know, he's very, very talented player, and, you know, he's definitely going to be missed over here. But again, you know, we're getting a lot of key guys back for him from the Dodgers, you know, with Verdugo, and he's a young, talented player who's, you know, ready to come over here and help us win.
And you do feel like, kind of from an insider point of view, that the Red Sox did everything that they could, but he's a guy who just ended up wanting to test the free agent market.
I feel that way, yeah. I mean, everybody compares him to Mike Trout, you know, and, I mean, anytime you're compared with Mike Trout, I mean, those two, they're best in the game.
Can you tell us a little bit about Ron Renicki? I mean, mm-hmm. Red Sox players only know him as the bench coach. Yesterday he gets the interim manager tag. What's he like, and what's the vibe inside the clubhouse now that he's manager?
We're all excited. I think everybody, you know, kind of expected, player-wise, kind of expected that he would be the one to be able to step up into that situation, and a lot of times if we're expecting it, you know what I mean? We're comfortable with him. In spring training and stuff, he was always the one who set the schedule. I know him and Alex, you know, talk a lot, and, you know, they work together on it, but at the same time, you know, he's been here for I'm not sure how many years, but he knows everybody. Everybody knows him, and we're excited to have him.
When you talk about Alex from a player perspective, what was it about him that you guys loved? I mean,
pretty much everything.
That's all we hear. So pretty much everything.
You know, you don't want to see anybody lose their job, and it's like we almost feel like it was like taken away from us because of the things it was over there with the Astros and.
So you guys, and you feel, I probably should ask this for the record. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been in baseball for a while. Been, as you mentioned, Dodgers, Yankees. Mm-hmm. There was nothing that you saw, felt like was wrong last year going on here.
No, not from my side of the, you know, on our side of the ball. But yeah, I mean, kind of just going back to Alex, it's like, I've never had a manager who could relate to you so well. You know what I mean? He was always talking to everybody, and I mean, I felt like that was kind of, everyone in the Red Sox organization from the top, you know, the front office and guys down on the field, you know, Puerto Rico, everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
He's just an amazing guy.
Very, very energetic guy,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, energetic, positive.
Ron's a stabilizer, obviously, like you said, you're familiar with him. So, like, in an off season of a lot of turnover and change, having Renicki step in is like a helps stabilize things and keeps the mood cool for you guys.
Absolutely, yeah.
And Alex was a very energetic guy, right?
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to ask about the whole Astros thing. Does that bother you? You know, because you know you've heard about lawsuits mm-hmm. now, and Los Angeles was mm-hmm. all up in arms. As a pitcher, how much would it bother you to know that something like that was going on?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does bother you. Especially, I mean, when they're on base, you know they're trying to steal your signs. That's why you use multiple signs with runners on second base. But when they're down there in the dugout and they're able to give you the signs from the very first pitch on, like, yeah, I mean. It's definitely a little bothering.
I mean, you never heard the trash can banging? I mean, what?
You know, you're in there on the field, and it's like you almost have that tunnel vision. You hear, like, your fans, or not the fans, but you hear the players around you, and you can hear somebody yelling at you on the field. Like, sometimes I can hear the pitching coach yelling at me, you know, saying something, and I've had it before. Like, my dad will be down there, like, first row behind the dugout, and I don't know he's there, and he'll be screaming my name. He's like, dude, why are you ignoring me?
Yeah.
And I was like,
I can't hear you.
I don't hear you. Well, so I don't know.
That's why there was that weird syncopated noise whenever we went down to Minute Maid Park.
Right?
Nathan Eovaldi is our guest. We're here at JetBlue Park. And so you guys certainly look at, you know, the change with Mookie, the change with Price, the change from a manager perspective, as a leader, a potential leader, what is it that you do to kind of calm everybody down heading into this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think the simplest thing is just go out there and win ball games. You know, I feel like this is the first time in a long time that people might actually be sleeping on us. You know, I've been on teams that are rebuilding, and I mean, we're definitely not rebuilding in any way with the talent that we have on and off the field. I think a lot of people are going to be sleeping on us just with everything going on.
I mean, did you offer Mookie like a little bit of your salary if he stayed? I mean, did you?
Yeah,
it probably wasn't enough.
I
mean, what do you think, Mookie? What do you think when you look at, and be honest with me, from a baseball perspective, like, mm-hmm. is a guy like, what do you think a guy like Mookie is worth, and is anybody worth?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's where we're at now. It's like, you know, there's Mike Trout, and then you see Mookie. So it's like, you don't know which one, and, you know, Trout stayed with the Angels, and Mookie's going to be out there for all 30 teams to be coming after. So, I mean, depending on, you know, hopefully he'll stay healthy and everything this year, and it'll be exciting this offseason for sure.
Yeah.
So in a year where you guys are not going bridge year, not rebuilding, you guys are going to be competitive. Bloom was talking about that the other day as well. Give me a player. I mean, you're out there. You're pitching against the guys. You see the guys in practice. Give me maybe a pitcher and a player that will turn heads or that people might be sleeping on this year.
I think Dahlbeck's going to be able to come in and do a lot of great things for us.
Yeah.
And then pitching-wise, I mean, you saw what Darwinson Hernandez was able to do last year. I think he's going to play an even bigger role for us this year in the bullpen. It's so hard to tell, you know, at the beginning of spring training. We haven't really had any live BPs or anything like that, but, I mean, everybody's coming in. They're all looking good, healthy, and all the bullpens have been really good.
David Price sort of had, I felt like he sort of had an issue with Boston, whether it was the media or the fans. Mm-hmm. Or how do you feel about Boston as a city to play in?
I love it. I mean, I love playing in cities that hold you accountable. You know, it was the same with like New York. You know, the fans hold you accountable for your actions, and they want you to go out there and perform well. And if you don't, then, you know, they're going to give you a little hard time. But I mean, you see the way he finished up in Boston, and everybody loved him. You know, he might not have had the best start, but when the way he finished, everybody loved him, I felt like.
So you don't feel extra pressure because
people
want to hold you accountable or want to yell?
I don't. I mean, that's what we're at. We're going out there, and you want to play against the best, and you want to try and beat the best. And I feel like if you want to do that, you got to be in the right organization.
So where are fans rougher on you? Is there a particular road city, or is it when you're warming up in the Fenway bullpen?
Well, not in the Fenway bullpen. I mean, sometimes in other bullpens, you know, they rag on you a little bit. But, I mean, that's part of the game, you know. You don't want that annoying fan who just says, you stink. You know, you want to hear something creative out there. And, I mean, I think it just kind of comes with it. If anything, I feel like it almost locks you in a little bit more. So you go out there and you want to compete. You want to prove them wrong and, you know, help them out. And that's one of my favorite things about pitching on the road. It's like, you know, you have the home crowd stadium, and they're trying to root against you, and as long as you can just, it's like my goal is to keep them as quiet as I can the entire game. It's like once they get a little rowdy and like you're able to shut them down, it's like, yes.
Nice.
As a player, when it comes to sign stealing, mm-hmm. you've been exposed to it your whole career. How do you guys look at what went on with the Astros? We'll use that by itself. Are you guys bothered by the technology part of it, or are you guys kind of like, you know what, this has been going on since I was playing Little League, and I don't get what the big deal is?
I mean, what the Astros did were wrong. You know, they were stealing the signs at the very beginning of the game. They had the camera feeds, and they were able to hit on the trash can. But, I mean, runner on second base, and if they steal my sign, like, I feel like that's kind of on me. You know, for not having a good sequence or not being able to switch your signs around. Like you said, I mean, in Little League, we had multiple signs. I mean, they weren't as difficult to pick up. You know, we might only be going second sign or third sign, but,
yeah.
You know, nowadays it's like you get a runner on second, and, I mean, we come in the dugout, we kind of switch our sequences up just to be safe because you never really know. If you got a good runner on first base, you know, they can be peeking in at the signs from first while you're holding them on. So I mean, it's all kind of part of the game.
That's on you. You're like, hey, shame on me.
Mm-hmm. And then you got guys who just kind of tip their pitches, you know, like if your hands are coming set in the wrong spot, I mean – even now with technology, like you can pick up on guys just doing something different on the mound. And then if you can eliminate one pitch as a hitter, I mean, they're going to take it.
Were there things going on when you were with the Dodgers or the Yankees where you were like, all right, we're taking this to a whole new level, you know?
Well, I mean, I feel like that's happened to me in the past. Like, say I have a rough game where I give up, you know, 5-6 runs. It's like, oh, what were you doing? It's like, well, let me see if I was dipping my pitches or let me see where my misses were. You know, if it's a 2-1 count, I'm throwing a fastball right down the middle. I throw hard, so I'm going to rely on my fastball. Mm-hmm. If I'm throwing it down the middle and it gets hit, it's kind of, you know, I put that on myself. But again, I hold myself accountable for a lot of my actions.
How much of an advantage do you think it was for the Astros?
I mean, I definitely feel like it was an advantage. I mean, you're getting every sign. If you have an idea of what's coming, off speed or fastball, it definitely helps a batter out for sure.
Yeah. Nick, you had something you wanted to ask?
Yeah. So the Yankees, is this probably the most formidable opponent you think that you'll have faced in the AL East or maybe since you came into the league? Because they've stacked and just spent so wildly this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees, I feel like every year they have a great lineup. You know what I mean? I try not to take any team account, you know, like, or underestimate any team I go out there. I feel like anytime I do that, I always get rocked. So, but again, you know, playing in Yankee Stadium, dealing with their fans, you know, their fans, I feel like, are locked into every game and they're always rooting for them. You to do terrible as well, and you know, it really makes you focus the entire time. And again, you know, their lineup, there's no easy out, you know, from
just
1 to 9
coming,
and then you got the rotation, you gotta hold, you know, not allow any runs because, you know, their rotation's good, the bullpen's good. So but again, I feel like our rivalry, that back and forth with the Red Sox and Yankees, that series, it's always really good. So I'm excited for it.
How do you like when it comes to Fenway as a pitcher? You know, oftentimes I think it's called a hitter's park. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about it compared to Yankee Stadium or whatever?
What do you mean? I mean,
do you feel like you have an advantage, or do you think the hitter has an advantage at Fenway?
I mean, in Fenway, if we're comparing it to Yankee Park, I feel like we have the advantage at home. But Yankees Park, I mean, I feel like the ball flies out to right center, and porch is short over there too. Left field is short, and their guys are, you know, they're used to hitting there, so they'll take that fastball away and just kind of hit it out there to the right side of the field. At home, you know, it's like you got the pesky pole, but then you got the right center out there. It's deep. But, I mean, with our outfielders, I feel like it plays to our advantage, you know, because they use that wall so well. Benny plays it off the wall well. Jackie's got the corner down there. And, you know, this year, whoever's in right field, they'll be used to playing the pesky pole.
Yeah, somebody sneezes, though, when a ball goes out in right field at Yankee Stadium. Yeah. That's the shortest porch.
That's what I'm saying.
You must have to be so extra careful, though, mm-hmm. just against any left, like for, whether it's, you know, Torres or even Brett
Judge.
Gardner.
Judge. They just flare it out there, right. And the ball just flies.
Pitch and wedge, and next thing you know, like, that didn't look like a home run swing.
Exactly.
Flare it out there. That's a technical term. Yeah, just, right? Just flare it out there.
Baseball hard-o term.
Just flare it out there.
Ball's flying out last year, too. Yeah. I mean.
It's ridiculous. That's
because it's juiced. Speaking of baseball hard-os, Ken is chomping at the bit with a question, I believe, for Nathan Eovaldi.
Well, I just wanted to ask you, Nathan, you know, you signed the contract. Obviously, the team has a limit on what they can spend for the entire payroll. How does that affect you when you go on the mound, like pressure to live up to the deal that you signed?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely hold yourself.
He's blaming you for Mookie not being here.
Right.
That's why you coward. Face him down, Ken.
No, I mean, you definitely hold yourself accountable when you sign a big contract, and you want to come out that first year and really, you know, have an impactful season. And last year, I felt like I, you know, let the team down in a way just with my injuries and stuff, and then tried to rush myself back and help out the bullpen and battle the bicep tendonitis. But, I mean, you try not to overthink about it or overthink it either. You know, you're still going out there and you're playing the same game. And, you know, regardless if I sign a big contract or a small contract, I want to go out there and do the best I can.
So you feel like, and you're it's not that you've been briefed. You honestly feel like this team, we shouldn't sleep on it as fans. We should feel like this team has a legitimate chance.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like last year, the way we started out the season, you know, kind of, you know, I mean, we were playing catch up the whole season.
Yeah.
You know, all the guys in the rotation, we struggled at the beginning. You know, whether that was the effects of the World Series, you know.
Well, I was going to say, did you feel like you guys had a World Series hangover or the White House thing affected? I mean, there were a lot of explanations that were offered up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna go out there and make excuses or anything, but I mean, we weren't ready. We didn't come out there. We didn't perform the way we should. And, you know, from that moment on, we were playing catch-up the entire time. And, you know, by the time we caught up with everybody, they were too far ahead.
All right. Well, listen, thanks. I know you got to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for stopping by this morning.
Of course. Yeah, thank y'all for having me.
We're hoping that you're right about Tom Brady. any advice that you would give to him? I mean, No. he's got a big decision in front of him.
I think he's done pretty well for himself.
When you look at him as a baseball player, when you look at him and you look at his age, is it amazing to you that he's still doing it at his age?
It is. Yeah, it's amazing to me. He's out there doing it, but he's succeeding. You know what I mean? And he's not slowing down, I feel like, at all. And he just goes out there and he's a dominant quarterback.
All right. Well, thanks for coming by this
morning. Thank you all for having me.
Have a great season. Yeah, thank
Nathan,
you.
Nathan Eovaldi, and we'll be right back from JetBlue Park.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.